Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the life of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey, exit 120 of the Garden State Parkway. On this week's program, I'd like to talk about the banking crisis, the collapse of Silicon Bank in California, and some other regional banks. This has gotten people quite concerned. Some economists say it's just a blip on the screen. Others say this foreshadows a bigger economic collapse. Many people are trying to put a good face on the situation because if people panic, economic collapse may be a self-fulfilling prophecy. In order for money in the financial system to work, people have to trust the system, because the whole monetary system is based upon trust. The dollar is only worth something as a medium of exchange if people think it's worth something. And so that's a metaphysical perception. And this is a real reminder that nothing in this world has any intrinsic value. Even gold is simply yellow metal. And bread is more valuable than gold when you're starving. So whenever we see these financial collapses, it should be a reminder of what God has already told us. Proverbs chapter 23. Do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. When you set your eyes on it, it's gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings like an eagle and flies toward the heaven. Or as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust thus destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. So we shouldn't be surprised by banks collapsing. In fact, we should expect it. And we really shouldn't be so despondent, because we have been laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven by obedience to God and good works. In this world, there is nothing of lasting value. There is nothing that's sure. When the stock market collapsed in 1929, nobody knew it was the beginning of the Great Depression. In fact, the stock market actually rallied back for a little while. People bought back in. And there were plenty of bullish investors in the market saying that this was a great buying opportunity. But then the floor fell out. When they say peace and safety, then comes sudden destruction. So, in the words of Larry Kudlow this week, a conservative Christian economist, quote, what we know is we don't know. So finally, an honest economist. Also, one thing is certain, we're never going to be hearing from the media that the economy is in trouble, or that there is a recession looming, because we're coming upon the next presidential election cycle. And one sure way for the incumbent party to be thrown out of office is for there to be a recession. So left-leaning ideologues in the media, but I repeat myself, are not going to fully report on any economic woes. Now, if the political right was in the White House, we would be hearing that the world is coming to an end. Now, I'm not trying to be cynical or partisan here. I'm just telling you the truth. The media has an ideological slant and they have political goals. The media is no longer objective. The philosophy is no longer to be objective, but to push certain political moral ideology. Now, before I discuss the financial reasons for the collapse of Silicon Bank, I want to begin with this point. The financial problem in regional banks is primarily a spiritual problem. It's not an accounting problem. It's not a regulatory problem. It's not a liquidity problem. It's a spiritual problem. In that the primary cause of the trouble is spiritual, and the secondary results are financial. For example, when the prodigal son squandered his father's wealth and became hungry, Someone certainly could come along and tell a prodigal that he had a financial problem, that he had an unemployment problem, that he had a cash flow problem, that he had a upside down asset and liability problem, or maybe that he even had a risk management problem. Yet all of those are the result, not the primary cause for why the prodigal was in hunger. The reason for his trouble was a spiritual problem. Greed, lust, ingratitude, selfishness, laziness, etc. As Ronald Reagan said in a speech back in 1983, the real crisis we face today is a spiritual one. At root, it is a test of moral will and faith. And this is why Jesus said, if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all those other things we need, food, clothing, housing, shelter, will be added to you. Because the determiner of financial well-being is in one's relationship with God. However, we can see how easy it is for the atheist to see only the superficial results and not understand the root cause. So, at work, in your discussion at the water cooler or the coffee pot, when your coworkers ask you about what you think about the Silicon Valley bank collapse, you can get them thinking by simply saying it's a spiritual problem, or it's first a spiritual problem that results in financial lawlessness. Notice how when the Bible addresses economic issues, it focuses on the spiritual issue. The Bible doesn't just hand you a tissue for your runny nose, it addresses the disease. Deuteronomy chapter 28. But it shall come about, if you do not obey the Lord your God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, with which I charge you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed you shall be in the city, cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the offspring of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. You say, well, wait a minute, maybe it's a fertilizer problem, or a land erosion problem, or a labor shortage problem. How does obedience to God's moral law have anything to do with the agricultural economy? Well, who sends the rain? Who motivates the workers? Who causes the farmer to make long-term investments in the composition of the soil? God. So here's the lesson. If you're having economic trouble, the first solution is to repent and get right with God. Oh, sure, after that will come all sorts of better economic policy and choices. But those better policies never materialize unless there is first a spiritual change in the heart of the individual or the nation. So this is why when American business practices are exported to ungodly countries, they never seem to work very well. Deuteronomy 28:2. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. That's the key. Well, here's another example. In the days when Israel returned from Babylon, the people were working hard in their businesses, but were not being very successful. Haggai chapter 1, verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. He who earns wages to put it into a purse with holes. So, in Israel, there was plenty of economic activity, and there were probably all sorts of faulty economic and financial policies. But the prophet pointed to the fact that there was first a spiritual problem in the nation. They neglected the worship of God. There's also the example of King Rehoboam, 1 Kings chapter 14. Now it happened in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. He took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. And he took everything, even taking all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. So Shishak was like the Grinch. He even took the last can of Huhash. Well, the point was that under King Rehoboam, all of the wealth of Israel, built up by Solomon, was gone in a moment. And Solomon himself wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes that he was concerned with what would happen to all of his labors if a fool became king after him, which is exactly what happened. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, "Thus I hated all the fruit of my labor for which I have labored under the sun, for I must leave it to a man who will come after me, and who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool, yet he will have control over all the fruit of my labor, for which I have labored by acting wisely under the sun, this too is vanity." In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 18, "Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good." Men like Rehoboam. So, along comes King Rehoboam, and he drives the nation off the cliff economically. And what does the scripture attribute this decline to? Rehoboam's inability to manage financial risk, Rehoboam's lack of military preparedness, no, to disobedience to God morally. The verses that came right before the description of Shishak's invasion read as follows. "Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy more than all that their fathers had done, with the sins which they committed. For they built for themselves high places and sacred pillars and ashram on every high hill and beneath every luxuriant tree. There were also homosexuals in the land. They did according to all of the abominations of the nations which the Lord deposed before the sons of Israel. Now it happened in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. He took away the treasures." Now, secularists would say this is just superstition, religious nonsense, that the moral behavior of the people doesn't have anything to do with economic success, and we can have economic success without God. But people can disbelieve and fight this all they want. But Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." So after covering this point about the banking collapse being a spiritual problem, let's now look at the practical reasons for the collapse, the financial and economic crimes. I didn't want to start off with that discussion, lest you get the impression that those things are the primary problem, that all we have to do is fix the banking regulatory system or the Federal Reserve system or the federal deficit problem, and all will be well. In fact, there's just too much talk about all of those secondary causes, even from conservatives. But that should not be the primary focus. But in that people abandon God, they also begin practicing economic lawlessness, just like they practice moral lawlessness. The reason for the collapse of Silicon Bank is threefold. It's the fault of Congress increasing the federal deficit, greed. It is the fault of the San Francisco branch of the Federal Reserve for not properly doing their job. They knew about this problem for a long time. They have supervisors, they have examiners, but they did nothing. Problem of laziness. And it's the fault of the managers at Silicon Bank for investing in leftist ideological causes. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11, "He who tills the land will have plenty of bread, but he who pursues worthless things lacks sense." First, the federal deficit is destroying the value of the dollar. It's destroying and stealing from savings and investments, and it will destroy the economy. We all know that the prices of everything is going up. The inflation rate, which usually is at 1% or 2%, is now at about 8%. And that's the kind of inflation that happens in third world economies. Politicians want to blame it on COVID and supply chain problems, but inflation is always a function of increasing the money supply. The federal government, especially under Biden, has pushed for huge extra spending bills, the $1.9 $1 trillion COVID relief bill as soon as Biden took office in March of 2021, then the $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill in the fall of 2021, then the $700 billion inflation reduction bill in October of last year, 2022, which was really the Green New Deal, renamed for the purpose of passing out money to Democrat constituents. All this was done on borrowed money. Now, in addition to this, the federal government borrows about $1.5 trillion a year to cover current spending, because in 2022, the government brought in $5 trillion in tax revenues, but spent $6.5 trillion. The national deficit is now at $31 trillion, and it's going up by $1 to $2 trillion every year. Now, no one has the money to lend that kind of money to the federal government. So the Federal Reserve just credits the federal government the money, and the federal government gives the Federal Reserve an IOU. So this means more money is being circulated in the economy, which devaluates the dollar. The circulation starts first with federal employees, grants, and contracts. These people have more money than they should have. So they flood the economy with more buying power, which causes prices to go up. So this is how it works. The amount of money in our economy that includes dollars in circulation, bank accounts, money market funds, is called M3. And it's about $22 trillion. If the federal government is adding to the money supply about $1.5 trillion to cover expenses, you can see why there's inflation. $1.5 trillion is about a 7% increase in the money supply. And so inflation will be about that much. Congress has decided that inflating the money supply is an acceptable way to tax everyone's savings without the political unpopularity of raising people's taxes. So inflation steals the value of the money we have already earned. Now, what the Federal Reserve is trying to do to stop inflation is to raise interest rates on borrowed money from the Fed. This reduces the amount of money in the system, but it's not going to work. It's not going to work if the federal government is pumping more money into the system by overspending. So it's like the Federal Reserve is trying to bail out water at one end of the boat, while the federal government is bailing water into the boat at the other end. So did you get all that? The collapse of Silicon Bank was due to government deficit spending. These regional banks have long-term investments locked in at lower rates. And if interest rates go up, they can't pay out the higher interest rates demanded by depositors. Now, this is kind of a simplistic explanation, but it'll suffice. The bottom line is that when the government is greedy, they print dollars, they cheat the system. Psalm 37:21. The wicked borrows and does not repay. Now, Silicon Bank could have weathered the corruption of the federal government if they didn't have their own internal corruption. Silicon Bank gave away $73 million to BLM at the height of the BLM protests. $73 million. Those three women who started BLM were riding high on piles of cash and passing out to all sorts of cash to create those protests and programs. Then Silicon Bank promised $5 billion, not $5 million, $5 billion to investment in green energy, which is always a money pit. The upper management and board of directors pooled money to bundle support for the Hillary Clinton campaign. And it's also interesting to note that the bank was without a risk manager for about a year before 2023. But the acting risk manager for the European branch, Jay Ursapa, is an interesting character. Quote from Business Insider. However, in a twist, the boss of financial risk management at SVB's UK branch, Jay Ursapa, has been accused of prioritizing pro-diversity initiatives over her actual role. While Ursapa acted as the CRO of Silicon Valley Bank in Europe, Africa, and the Middle East, she organized a range of LGBTQ plus initiatives, including a month-long pride campaign and a safe space catch up for the staff. In the past, she has also moderated the EMEA Pride Town Hall and served as a panelist at the bank's Global Pride Town Hall to share her experiences as a lesbian of color. Her LinkedIn profile indicates that she had a successful career, having worked at several high-profile names in the financial sector, Citibank, Barclays, and Deloitte, unquote. Well, is her moral ideology significant? Absolutely. Even Business Insider realizes that her priorities were not in investing in sound businesses, but in pushing her ideology. Here's an article from Eric Revelle over at Fox Business. The failure of Silicon Bank is being cited by the State Financial Officers Foundation as an example of what can go wrong when financial institutions prioritize political agendas over basic risk management. The State Financial Officers Foundation, a group of Republican state auditors, chief financial officers, controllers, and treasurers, released a statement that said Silicon Valley Bank should have focused on safeguarding their depositors' money and making sound investments, but it's clear their focus was on pushing a progressive agenda, unquote. Also, the head of the San Francisco branch of the Federal Reserve also had faulty priorities. Miss Daly, from Wikipedia, the first openly gay woman to lead a regional Federal Reserve bank. Miss Daly gave a speech saying that as monetary policy makers, our job is to navigate climate change. Well, the head of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, responded to this. So this must have been a radical, controversial statement on the part of Daly. Jerome Powell said, quote, "We should stick to our knitting and not wander away off to pursue perceived social benefits not tightly linked to our statutory goals and authority. We are not and will not be climate change policymakers. Taking on new goals, however worthy, without a clear statutory mandate would undermine the case for our independence." So here's a lesson. Ideas have consequences. The spiritual moral errors bleed over into poor economic choices. These things do not happen in a vacuum. And that's practically why Proverbs chapter 14, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Well, this is all I have time for. I'd like to get into Deuteronomy chapter 29, the prophecy about that man or woman that will arise in the nation who will be the poisonous root, the one who will forget God and squander the wealth built up by a previous godly generation. The text says this person will replace the well-watered land with a desert. So there's always a face behind the corruption and the decline. Men like King Rehoboam, the executives at Lehman Brothers, the executives at Enron, the woke executives at Silicon Bank, Signature Bank in New York, and Credit Suisse. Psalm 107. He changes rivers into wilderness and springs of water into a thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who dwell in it. Well, all of that additional discussion will be on the extended YouTube and Rumble versions of this program at the channel God and Country Biblical Exposition. All the links you can get at our website, godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks for your support. Keep standing for Christ in this evil day. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help us to remember that you come first, that everything depends upon our union with you, that if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to us. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.